Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
God, who is an African-American woman, Jesus, who is a Jewish man, and the Holy Spirit, who is an Asian woman. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
New Agers want to be able to create religions that will make them feel good.
It's Jefferson and Madison and Franklin talking from the grave through me.
If you're a religious person, you understand that once religion takes hold in a society, it can't be stopped.
We're hearing a lot about balance lately. Out there in politics, where we're preparing to elect the next president, issues that had been for the Christian voter and for the pro-life voter, front and center, many are saying these issues need to, well, don't take them off the burners altogether, but they need to be put on the back burner and maybe some other issues brought forward. So, issues like abortion. Come on, it's one among several equally important issues that Christians ought to be concerned about when they go into the polling place. It needs to be balanced with other issues. Global warming, poverty, all of these things that should concern everyone. Well, how do you respond to that? We're going to talk about abortion as the most important election issue with Dr. Doug Grotheis here in the first 10 minutes of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Monday, the 27th of October. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can also email us right here in the studio in real time, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little later in the program, Pastor Paul McCain joins us. We're going to talk about the Small Catechism, which a lot of people in the Reformation theological, the stream of Reformation theology are familiar with the idea of the Small Catechism of Martin Luther. They've heard about it at least. He also has a larger catechism. Part 5 of our 7-part weekly series on the Lutheran Confessions with Pastor Paul McCain, that'll be the subject a little later in this hour. Then, in hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we'll be talking with a staff writer from the Los Angeles Times about Robert H. Schuller's decision to remove his son, known as Robert II, from the hour of power. He'll still stay on as senior pastor at the Crystal Cathedral, but he won't be appearing on television anymore, and the press release is rather vague. We'll be talking about that. Well, it's a big story out on the West Coast, but also Robert Schuller's influence cannot be underestimated. And then we'll review a Reformation sermon preached by Pastor Don Matzett of Zion Lutheran Church in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania, former host of this program, by the way, preaching on the Reformation a little later in the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Doug Grotheis is our guest for the first 10 minutes of the program. He's professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary and author of an article in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal titled Recovering from Fetus Fatigue. Maybe you have it. Dr. Grotheis, welcome back.
It's good to be here, Todd.
How do you respond to someone who says, look, this really is an important issue, abortion and the life issue, but it's one among several equally important issues, and it should be balanced with other issues, especially in the minds of Christian and pro-life voters?
Well, on one level, that's true, because the Great Commission calls us to take the teachings of Jesus to the whole world, and that includes restoring humans to God and includes trying to implement shalom across the board. But we've also got to get a sense of what's at stake with particular candidates in particular elections. And in this case, with Barack Obama, we have the most pro-abortion candidate in the history of the United States. Obama has been trying, although it's against his nature, I think, to move to the center or towards the center on a few different issues. He has not done so on abortion whatsoever. He supports Roe versus Wade, and moreover, he supports something called the Freedom of Choice Act, which, if signed by the president, would annul every single pro-life legal reality in the 50 states. So this is not a small issue, Todd. We're talking about between 35 and 45 million innocent children killed by abortion since 1973. And a president has tremendous power in this issue. A few days after being sworn in 1993, Bill Clinton signed four executive orders undoing pro-life laws or pro-life executive orders that came through the first President Bush. Of course, you have Supreme Court nominations. There will be several in the next 4 to 8 years. You have federal court choices. So this is a very consequential issue. We're talking about the killing of the most innocent and fragile beings among us, people, very young, very little, very silent people made in the image and likeness of God. So this is no small issue. Their blood is really on our hands in many ways.
So if this were, say, in the case of the presidential election, if this were a choice between two pro-life candidates, then the other issues could come into play, and those other issues could rise in prominence. But since it is a choice between a distinctly pro-life, distinctly pro-choice candidate, this yes. has to remain at the front burner.
Exactly. And we're not just dealing with a mildly pro-choice candidate. We're dealing with the most extremely pro-choice candidate. In fact, I call him an abortion revolutionary because he would want to put into place Roe v. Wade forever and annul all the state limits, such as parental consent laws. He would want in his tax plan and in his medical plan, his health care plan, to cause more and more money to be given, tax money to be given for abortion across the board. So we're dealing with a very radical pro-abortion agenda here. Not even mildly so, but as extreme as you can get. I mean, the only thing more extreme I can think of would be China's one-child policy.
Okay. You point out in your article in the Christian Research Journal that the case can certainly be made against abortion without appeal to biblical argument. But I would like you, for the sake of the religious and the Christian voters listening to us, make the case from Scripture that abortion is something that cannot be conceived of, pardon the pun, but it cannot be part of the Christian mind, especially among the Christian voters, if they're consistent with Scripture. Make that case.
Right. Well, it's very basic. Human beings are made in God's image and likeness, and so we have unique value in the world, and that is from conception. You see that in Genesis 1, people made in God's image and likeness, and you see the uniqueness and specialness of the developing child in Psalm 139. We know from the Ten Commandments, Exodus 2013, that murder is the unjust killing of a human being and is sinful. And in almost all cases, abortion is the unjust killing of a human being. The only exception, I think, would be where the life of the mother is directly at stake, and that is very, very rarely the case. So therefore, abortion is morally wrong and sinful before God, and therefore abortion should be illegal and stigmatized socially, except for these very, very rare kind of exceptions. So it's a clear case. And then I'd also argue from Jesus' concerns for the least of these. In Matthew 25, 31 through 46, Jesus talks about the marginalized, those in prison and so on, those who don't have really a voice. Now, he doesn't say the unborn specifically because abortion was not a moral issue in that time. The Jews knew that this was a human being with value, and so they did not support abortion. But I think today we can certainly include the unborn as those among the least of these that we should protect and care for and not slaughter at the tune of 35 to perhaps 40, 45 million in the last 35 years.
Coming back to your biblical argument, how would you respond to someone who says, well, there are a lot of things that the Bible forbids, but we don't make them illegal?
Well, this is the most basic thing. The state has the power of the sword, and that involves punishing criminals. And if the state cannot punish those that engage in unjust killing and forbid unjust killing through law, what can it do? So this is the most fundamental human issue, the right not to be murdered. So we're not talking about making people religious through the law. This is a basic moral truth that should be at the center of civil government.
Last week, we spoke with Robert George. You briefly referenced his article in the or his book, Embryo, A Defense of Human Life. Mm-hmm. In your article, he says, in essence, that if we understand the place of life in our God-given rights as citizens, we cannot imagine a society that would try to uphold other rights while not defending the right to life. Do you concur with his argument that it is central to our rights?
Yes, absolutely. If you can't defend the most helpless, the weakest, those that depend on us completely for their life and their protection, then you have a fundamentally unsound civil government and a fundamentally unsound social order.
Dr. Doug Grodheis is professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary. He's author of an article in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal titled Recovering from Fetus Fatigue. Dr. Grodheis, thank you for being our guest.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Can you imagine anything else? What else would you put in the place of life as the foundation, the beginning point of all of the rights that we believe accrue to us simply because we are the creatures of a common creator? As we say in our founding documents, endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It only stands to reason without the first, you cannot have the second or the third. You certainly could not say liberty and the pursuit of happiness and, if you feel like it or if it's convenient, life too. One naturally flows from the other, and a denial of the one, that is life, is a denial of the other too, and all of the other rights that are not specifically enumerated in those documents. Something to think about when you go in to vote. When we come back, Pastor Paul McCain will be talking about the large and small catechisms, talking more about the Lutheran Confessions and our ongoing conversation with him.
Child, he was taken away. There's a place for the baby that died, and there's a time.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Matt Holst, Justin Cornelius, John Cotty, Shane Sowers, Scott Sayers, Karen Stammen, Carrie Meyer, Michael Burmeister, Lynn Cook, and Wenda Sutherland. Thanks for your support.
Hello, I'm Dr. Wanda Franz, president of National Right to Life. As a mother of three and a developmental psychologist, I know that adolescents need their parents' guidance in making wise decisions. Yet pro-abortion advocates insist that parents do not have the right to be involved in their minor daughter's abortion decision. We at National Right to Life need your help. Visit our website at www.nrlc.org. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.